would you like to build a property wealth portfolio in LA? Rebecca Sekulich will tell us how. She's the premier real estate navigator helping you acquire true wealth. So Rebecca, please tell us, how can entrepreneurs and property investors build a property wealth portfolio in LA?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
It's actually a difficult conversation to have because it's not easy. We are in one of the most expensive real estate markets in the world, in Los Angeles. Our prices are high, our inventory is low, but you can do it. So what I love telling my clients, teaching my clients, is you have to start somewhere. And the earlier you can start in your portfolio and your life, as soon as you get out of college or whatever you're doing, instead of taking your hard-earned money and renting a property in Los Angeles, which I will just tell you, I rented two apartments, condos this week, a one bedroom for $4,500 and a two bedroom for $5,200. Those two prices are almost double, if not triple, of most people's mortgages in the rest of the country. True? True. It's true here. So I tell people, instead of spending that money on rent, you have to buy something. And even if you start small, that's where we have to start. So a lot of my clients are younger. They're in their 20s. They're millennials. They're Gen Zers. And hopefully the Gen Alphas are going to come up there eventually. But I tell them, get out of school. And instead of throwing your money away on rent and living with two or three other people, do the same thing, but with your friends. Get together and buy a property as either joint tenants or tenants in common and own a piece of that. Or go to your parents, go to somebody who loves you, aunts, uncles, cousins, investors will help you with a down payment. Buy a small property like a two-bedroom condo, and you can still get one of those in Los Angeles. Probably, you know, let's just be realistic, between $500,000 and $700,000. So let's say it's $500,000. You can get a two-bedroom condo in or in around LA. You can get a roommate and let that roommate pay half of your mortgage. So on a $500,000 condo, you know, let's say your mortgage is around $3,200. Let that person pay, you know, $1,800 or $2,000, because if they were renting an apartment, it would be that much money or more. So now that person is helping you pay your mortgage and you're paying the same amount of money you would to rent and give another landlord that money to make them wealthy. So that's my first lesson. Buy a property as soon as you can, as young as you can, pull in one or two roommates, either invest with them or have them help you pay on your mortgage. And then as soon as you possibly can, as soon as you're comfortable, start saving your money, start stockpiling that cash, and look towards your next investment. I advise a lot of people when they come to me, buy that condo or buy that very small house in the outskirts of Los Angeles, live there for a couple of years. We have a tax deduction if you buy it by yourself for a single person of, you know, federal $250,000capital gains tax. And if you're married, that goes to $500,000 after the second year is over. So if you bought that condo for 500 grand, in 2 years, the condo attrition here is about $50,000 to $75,000 per year. So if you buy a condo today for $500,000 in 2027, I should be able to sell that for between $600,000 and $700,000. So it's a pretty decent profit, and you can walk away with not paying any taxes on that capital gain because you have that $250 free for the after the second year. And then get them to level up. If they can take that $250 gain, you don't even have to 1031, roll it into another property. Now you have $200,000 of a down payment to roll into a $1 million property, and your mortgage payment is going to go, you know, maybe up to $5,000. Now your mortgage, your part of that rent is going to go from like $1,500 to maybe $2,500, and somebody else is going to help you pay that other $2,500. So we're constantly leveled up. And then when there's a time, we can pull people out, get renters in, pay the mortgage. And then every year I write right into the leases, your lease is going to go up this amount of money. They have long-term tenants. And now I have my younger clients that are between 25 and 35 profiting on every single piece of property that they own.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. It sounds like the property market is valued really high in LA.
It is.
How can entrepreneurs start building this portfolio of wealth? Let's say for people that have $1 million plus to invest, where would you have them get started? And is it mainly residential properties that are tend to be a good investment? Or do you recommend other types of investments?
Well, I'm on mostly the residential side. I have done a lot of commercial property, but I feel like in the beginning, the commercial properties are so much more expensive. If the numbers work, they're profitable. But a lot of times, like for a good commercial property with a certain amount of doors, let's say a fourplex or a quadplex, I just sold one in Long Beach, the same property that I sold 10 years ago, we sold for $1 million for a fourplex. It just resold in 10 years for 2.5. So it gained $1.5 million in 10 years. That is an incredible rate. So at $1 million, the rents were covering the mortgage payment. So my client did not need to live there. And then every year they've had it, they were just looking, how can they get the most amount of money out of it? So we have been tracking every year for 10 years. And the market last year just sort of went crazy in Long Beach. It was a very, it's, and it's still part of LA County, even though it's its own city. It's only 30 miles away from downtown in proper. It's a great place to invest right now. I tell people, get out of the big areas and just make sure that you are within 30 miles of something. 30 miles of the airport, 30 miles of Disneyland, 30 miles of downtown LA, 30 miles from where the Olympics are going to be. If you get in that 30-mile radius, that means the rents are going to stay stable and they're going to go up every year. So to answer your question, I would much prefer to do residential real estate because you get that capital gains tax because it's a primary residence. So when I'm teaching somebody about how to grow your portfolio, the number one purchase has got to be a condo or a small single-family house in which you can pull in one more person to help you pay the rent. If you can do it on your own, God bless you and do it. But most people who are in their 20s and early 30s can't. So it's an easy solution because they were doing the same thing before. Now we're just taking their money and making it work for them to make them profitable rather than giving it back to a landlord.
Thank you. What are some hacks that property investors should know about building a property wealth portfolio in LA?
Well, it's hard here because everybody wants a piece of the action. I'm also, besides doing, investment properties, I also do a lot of flips and a lot of remodels. So that's an easy game to get into. So a hack that I have, if you have a little chunk of money and you want to return on it quicker, we can actually find a property to flip. And the hack is that you need somebody like a me to help identify those properties because everybody wants them. I have between 5 and 10 investors reaching out to me on a weekly basis, begging me if I get a new listing before putting it on the market that I will give them the opportunity to buy it. Now, I'd love to do that, but the thing is that I have people who are selling that want a certain profit. And so it's not fair to the investors to just give the property away at 30 cents on the dollar when I could make them so much more money. And let me give you an example. House, you go on 123 Banana Street in Los Angeles, and it says on Zillow that it's worth, $800,000. Well, I know it's worth $800,000 because that's what the other homes around it are selling for. But what they don't know is that the lot's a little bit bigger. There's a bonus structure with permitted space, but it's not an accessory dwelling unit or an ADU. And with a coat of paint and maybe a few thousand dollars in landscaping, I know that I could get $1 million for that property that Zillow and Redfin tell me is only worth 800,000. So I have to do my due diligence and be honest and in integrity with my clients and get them the highest and most amount of profit. And sometimes we can meet in the middle. If I have somebody who's selling the house and, they think it's worth 800, I think it's worth 1 million, and I have somebody willing to pay, 875 or 900, we can strike a deal and that friend or investor can get lucky and they get the property under what it's worth, but my seller gets it for more than they thought that they would profit from. So I do a lot of flips, which is, I think I've just finished my 82nd remodel. So I do a ton of remodeling. And out of those 82, I think 41 of them actually that's half. It's probably 40 of them were actually flipped properties. Some of them I own, some of them I owned with a partner, and some of them are owned by my clients that I purchased for them, and we do the flipping. I have my own team of people. I've had the same group of guys now for 15 years, and I have 15 amazing people attached to me. Every single house, I go in and bring them with me and tell people how I can take a property in its as-is state and with a few thousand dollars. When I mean few, it could be five, you know, it could be 50, it could be 75, but a little bit of money, the profit is going to be so much greater. And back in the day, when I first started doing this, I would, if you'd let me, I would love to tell a great story. Can I tell you a story? So I'm going to tell you the story about my first flip and why the motivation was for me to get into this. So rewind, let's go back to 2010. So it's been 15 years since my first flip. A friend of mine called me. She was an agent in Greater Los Angeles. And she said, listen, I have this opportunity. A seller wants to sell in LA. The house is weird. It's kind of in a gated community, but it's nothing special. It's like a PUD or a planned urban development. So, you know, there's a golf course next door, tennis courts. There was a gate you went through. So it was safe. And they were single family houses, but they it was like in a community. So we don't have a lot of those in LA. So I went over there. And I looked at the agent and I said, how much do you think it's worth? And she goes, how much do you think it's worth? And I said, well, you know, in its current state, from what I know, it's worth, I don't know, about $175,000, maybe $200,000. And she goes, I agree with you. I was telling the seller, would she be willing to sell it for $150,000? And I said, I don't know, just a few little tweaks. I think I could do something. So she asked me if I'd sit down with the seller. I sat down with the seller. I asked this woman who was 75 years old. I said, do you have any extra money, even a few thousand dollars? And she said, no. Why? And I said, well, with a few thousand dollars, I could take this property. It looks like you've lived in it for the past 20 years. And she goes, I have. And I said, well, that's not what people want. People want move-in ready. They want fresh. They want clean. They want new. And she said, what would you do? And I said, I would paint and I would change some fixtures out and I would, you know, maybe paint the bathroom cabinet. I would do a little landscaping, maybe change the color of the front door and the garage door. And she goes, oh my gosh, I don't have $100,000 to do that. And I said, well, what if I could do that for a tenth of that? And she looked at me like I was crazy. And she's like, well, how would you do that? And I said, well, would you be willing to like play with me? And I didn't know what I was doing. I was just making this up, Lily. I was literally making it up. And she goes, well, I don't have any money. So now what? I said, well, what if I could get the money? And she said, okay, do I have to pay you for it? I said, we could write it into the contract. We could strike some sort of little property management deal. And literally, I'm literally thinking about how this could work and making it up as I go along. So what ended up happening is I didn't have the money. I really didn't have the money. 15 years ago, the cash flow was not coming in. And so I come from the film production world and I'd produced many films. And back in the day, we did a lot of buying things on credit cards and borrowing money and robbing Peter to pay Paul to do things. So I had this brilliant idea and it literally came to me while sitting in this meeting with a seller that if I used my credit cards and I took out a Home Depot, a Lowe's, those are the two big box stores. I actually had a Best Buy one and something else. And then a couple other credit cards that I'd already used, paid down and had the credit available. So I had the money to buy materials, but how was I going to pay for labor? So I went to, I had like a handyman at the time that had done worked in a couple of houses around where I was working in Culver City. And I went to him and I said, is there a way that I could pay you without paying you cash? Could I buy you materials or could I do something and trade with you so that you would do the work on this house? And the work that I want done, I know that you and, you know, your guys could do it in 2 weeks. So we struck a deal in person. They said, yes, buy us materials, buy us new tools on your credit card and we will do this house. So I spent $12,000 on that house. And for $12,000, these are the things I did. I painted the entire inside of the house. I bought all new, really inexpensive vinyl plank. And at the time, it was like a buck something a foot, very inexpensive. But the color she had was like not the color people wanted. So I got something a little bit more upbeat. We painted, I did the vinyl plank, I changed the fixtures in the kitchen, the living room, the bathroom, and I pulled out some shrubs, painted the garage door and the front door, and I staged it. All for $12,000, which not one dime was cash. Paid for all the materials, bought tools and materials for my guys, did this all. Put it on the market. They wanted me to buy it, and I said, I don't want to buy it. But for doing this for you, I would like a piece of what it sells for. Would you agree to that? And my friend who brought me in, she gets a piece too. Would you agree to that? And of course, the seller's like, I don't know how much more money we're going to get. I don't know how great this is going to go, but I believe you, and you have this believability, this conviction, and you're so confident when you walked in here. I trust you and I don't know you. So sure. So we struck this deal with her that it, whatever the profit was, she knew she was only going to make between 150, 175, maybe 200 grand. But anything above 200 grand, I got a piece of, and so did the other agent. And then she got to keep the rest of the profit we made. I staged it. I photographed it. I did a video. This was 15 years ago and people weren't doing that. They weren't doing videos. They weren't doing, you know, drone photography. They weren't doing any of that. Put it on the market. I sold that house in 1 week for $375,000. I invested 12 grand and I made that woman an additional $175,000 of profit, and it changed her life. It changed her life so much. She cried and she came to me and said, the reason I had to sell my house, I love it in LA, but I'm old and I'm on a fixed income from retirement and I can't afford to live here anymore. But you just, in 4 weeks, changed my entire life. And now I was only going to walk away with like $25,000. And now I'm walking away with $250,000. And literally I'm able to buy the house that I want in Phoenix, Arizona for cash and not have a mortgage. 15 years later, she's 90 years old. And I still talk to her at least once or twice a year. And every Christmas, she sends me a card and thanks me for changing her life. And that's the reason I get up every day and do what I do, to be of service, to help people increase their profitability by being smart, having a design background, and coming up with solutions to help them. So my company loans people money to fix up their houses, zero charge, payable at the close of escrow. And we can lend up, you know, $40,000, nothing, up to $75,000 for a very nominal fee, because it takes money to spend money these days, but it doesn't cost my clients anything. And I do it almost on every single house. Even if they don't want to spend money, I still require them to get the money so that we can stage or fix it up, because everybody wants bring your toothbrush. They do not want, I have to do something, because that delays their time to move in. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do it. They don't know who to hire, and they don't know how much it's going to cost. So on the buyer side, they will overpay for bring your toothbrush and looking how they want it to look, because they think they could never make it look like that for that amount of money. And that's what I do. That's my niche. And that's how I help people grow their wealth. And it's usually the second or third purchase I make with my clients. Many of my clients, we've done 2 to 5 transactions. And just like I told you, buy the condo, rent out. Move out, rent that out. Buy a new piece of property with the capital gains, free of tax money, and just keep moving up the ladder. I've had some clients now for almost 20 years, and they're on their 4th, 5th, or 6th property. And I'm literally changing their lives, building their wealth, creating passive income for them. Now they have husbands and wives, they have children, and they're building a legacy, and they have something that they can give away to the people that they love.
Thank you. Very touching story. Can you tell us about, how do you know what will sell? Like, is it, do you do this on an intuitive level that you know, for example, oh, I should change, for example, the flooring, or I should paint, or, I mean, there are certain things that I, for example, even for me, I find they are sort of like, I intuitively know what will sell. Is that your case as well? Or are there specific requirements that you tailor your you can say your staging and your improvements that you do for houses, so that you customize the houses based on what people have already asked you in the past.
Yeah, this is a two-pronged answer. So firstly, there's a few things that have to happen no matter what. And one of those is the house has to look good from the outside. So curb appeal is huge. If I do a photo shoot and I shoot that property and I use a bunch of Photoshop or I send the pictures away to be enhanced in some way, and somebody rolls up to the property and I put bright green grass and there's no grass because it's dead or it's dirt, they're not going to like that. So I have to get people to look at it. Then they'll like do Google Earth and then they'll do a drive-by if they're in town. So I need the property, I need that curb appeal to be so great it looks better on the drive-by or on Google Earth than it does when they actually see the picture. So curb appeal is a must. If they don't like what they see, they're never going to want to come inside. So when people ask me, it might not be every agent's number one design technique, but it's the one with little tweaks, just changing the house numbers, changing the mailbox, painting the front door. Those three things could literally cost less than $200. Those three little things could make somebody be like, oh my gosh, that house is amazing. We do other things too, like clearing out bushes and shrubs and maybe doing a little planting, and it does not have to cost a lot of money. So for me, the return on an investment, spending the money on any sort of curb appeal landscaping, getting things really neat and oriented to the home is huge. So that's number one, get them in the door. Then once they get in the door, when they open that front door, the first thing they see is usually, I'm going to say, a living room, and then they see the kitchen. So I'm here in my own home. The first thing you walk in the door, you have the living room, and then here I am sitting in my dining room area into my kitchen. It has to look amazing. I need a wow feature. So like, just to give you an example, this is a vintage fixture in my own home. It's from 1950, from a mid-century modern house that was sold at auction. We pulled it out. I bought it, and here it is. People will gravitate toward that. This fixture was super expensive, but guess what? Amazon has recreated everything, so I can buy that fixture on Amazon almost identical for less than $100 just for that fixture. So just little things. The number one thing that people want is a nice kitchen. So if I'm gonna spend money on the inside of the house, besides the fixtures and the lights and the faucets and things, is changing out the kitchen. Most of my kitchens, we can do it for pennies on the dollar. We do not even have to change the cabinets. But I work with a cabinet company who is all wood, soft close. Now I can buy the cabinets for cheaper than I can paint them, because painting them is arduous. It takes a long time. You have to take every single piece off. And if they're not real wood, you still have that risk that they're particle board or IKEA or whatever, they're gonna fall apart. So I tell people, why don't we just rip out your kitchen? I get a 40 to 50% discount. I buy all of my materials either in bulk, and I have a bulk discount for basically being a designer contractor. And they don't believe me until I tell them they can call and pay for it themselves. This is how much it actually costs. And they'll go to Home Depot and they'll say, we want the same configuration, and Home Depot's charge for the same cabinets is three times what we have to pay. So there's the markup. And that's what I feel my due diligence is to my clients. I'm giving them a deal so that another contractor is not taking that money from them. And the reason we can do it is because my guys will go from home to home to home. We're working on four houses right now, and all four of them are my next listings. So they have jobs 6 days a week. The seventh day, Sunday, is a day of rest. Nobody works on Sunday in Los Angeles, except for the realtors, because we have open houses. But my team doesn't work on Sundays. But I keep them working, and that's their motivation. They would rather work for me, pleasant, nice, lovely to work for, you know, no yelling, no conflict, and have a steady paycheck, rather than going to try to find their own business. So they've found it more profitable to stay with me, which is how I can keep my costs down. I do not have to mark things up that 40 to 50% like a normal contractor, you know, on Yelp or the, you know, we don't use the Yellow Pages, but you know what I mean. If you look at somebody on the internet, you find them, they come over and you get a quote. You have a quote to do your kitchen. I had one client about a month ago have four quotes for her kitchen. They were $30,000, $50,000, $75,000, and $125,000. I did it for $20,000. Same materials, everything. We bought all the materials online, Home Depot, Lowe's, bought my cabinets, got my quartz, got all the fixtures, and it looked amazing. And they cried because, you know, they were thinking they saved 10 grand and we were able to put that 10 grand into a new bathroom. And we never thought they were going to be able to do their bathroom. So now when I sell their house, I have a brand new kitchen and two brand new bathrooms. And it's going to sell for probably $200,000 more on that small investment of $30,000.
Wow, that's magnificent.
Yeah.
How can entrepreneurs protect their property wealth portfolio in LA?
That's a little bit harder of a question to answer. Honestly, it's having a great advisor. I mean, I consider myself a real estate advisor, a wealth advisor, but also you got to have the team together. And none of us do this alone. So yes, I'm a great resource, but you have to have a great, wonderful accountant that knows real estate. And having a financial advisor, somebody to tell you where your money's going and all the little tips and tricks. So most of my personal clients and me, we all see the same accountant that does our taxes. He specializes in real estate taxes and literally knows every little nuance and caveat and loophole and ways to save money in order to make more money. And he comes to us and says to me, like, hey, did you know if you do this, you can save yourself this much money? And I'm like, I never knew that. How come I didn't know that? And he's like, well, the law changed. So having somebody really smart and intuitive and knowing what you do, he structures all of our work. And every time we add a house to the portfolio, like I own 5 houses. Every time we add one, you know, he's constantly telling me how to make more money rather than paying more taxes. What can I do? Like a couple little tips and tricks. Always renovate. Even if you own rental property, every year do something. That's a write-off for you. Every dime that you spend on that rental property, even if it's a fresh coat of paint every year, even if you have tenants, change out the faucets, change out the sinks, you know, put new flooring in. Do something to the rental property to keep it on its toes. So if the day comes 2, 3, 4 years down the road, you've got your capital gains money and it's time to sell, I don't have to spend $100,000 on a whole home renovation. We've been doing it all along and it helps to offset our taxes. That's one of my little real estate secrets that I do on all my other properties, and I'm teaching my clients to do the same so that they're not having to put that much money out of their pocket all at once. So it's really cool how, you know, they can say, well, what do you think we should do? And we send a lot of pictures, you know, we take before pictures and after pictures. And then I am about to list a house that's been rented for the past 6 years, and I have been doing the rentals, but we did a major overhaul because we had a flood and the insurance paid for the whole thing. And I guided my client the whole way. This is what you do. We need to do this. You can't just do this. You have to do all of it. So when you're ready to sell, we're not going to have to do anything. And in the insurance claim paid for the entire thing, and she only had to pay her $2,500 deductible. But because of that remodel from a flood, she is going to make probably $300,000 to $400,000 more because her house looked like it was grandma's house. And the rents were getting so low. So just doing that remodel, I went from renting her house from $4,000 a month to renting it to $8,000. It went up $3,500 a month by doing a $60,000 remodel.
Wow, amazing. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you so they can build their property wealth portfolio in LA.
Absolutely. The best place to find me, well, you can Google me and my name, but the best place is on Instagram. People DM me and reach out. I have a lot of content, a lot of videos, and it's just basically at House of, H-O-U-S-E, and my last name. So House of Sekulich, S-E-K-U-L-I-C-H. That's my number one. You can find me anywhere. You can Google me and find hundreds of videos. I have a YouTube channel with my name, Facebook, everything that you can imagine, I am there. I don't like to use a website because it doesn't really work for me. It's just a placeholder. Older and almost like a showy thing. And I don't really need that. I want to be interacting with people and giving them advice and in guiding them towards, you know, their financial future and seeing how I can help. And then we constantly check in, just like, you know, you shouldn't go to the doctor once a year, but if you do, you have your annual check-in. And I do the same thing with my clients, but I like to have like quarterly check-ins. I make sure I reach out, I email, I call, I have events, and we touch base with each other so that it's like almost being on the preventative. In case you're sick, you go to the doctor, but if you're not sick, you should still do your annual checkup. You should still get your blood work done. And I do the same thing. How is it going? What's going on at your house? Did you see that your neighbor's house sold for this much money? Can you believe that your house is worth this much money? You know, if you were to move, where would you move to? How are the kids? Are, you know, they're done with college. Are they moving back to LA? Are we thinking about buying them a property? I'm in constant conversation with people, literally, I would say 4 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. And that's basically, I don't have to do any advertising or selling. They come to me because they want the knowledge and I have the resources. If anybody needs anything in real estate, I can give it back to them instantly. I can refer them to anybody that can handle anything from lawyers to probate to, you know, financial freedom to anything that involves houses or buildings. I have your solution and it's all at my fingertips and my clients love. I text them, they text me back. They text me, I text them back instantly. So it's awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.